And in Matthew chapter 4, we are in the beginning of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. The disciples are called by the Lord Jesus Christ to come and follow Him. In Matthew chapter 5 begins the Sermon on the Mount. Now, the Sermon on the Mount is important, is for the disciples, the first instruction given to the disciples. And before we reach chapter 5, we find our place in Matthew 4. And I want you to notice with me in verse 17. So Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. The Bible says, "From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.' And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers." Now, not that they did that every once in a while as a hobby, that was their trade. And the Bible says in verse 19, "And he saith unto them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.' And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And he immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria. And they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee and from Decapolis and from Jerusalem and from Judea and from beyond Jordan." Chapter 5, verse 1. "And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them," saying that "them" refers to the disciples that came unto him. The Sermon on the Mount then begins with the Beatitudes and runs through Matthew chapter 7. But here we have the beginning of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ preparing his disciples, teaching, training his disciples. And before we really study, and we're not going to do that this morning, but if you were to study the Sermon on the Mount from Matthew chapter 5 to the end of Matthew chapter 7, you'd find some wonderful truths for those who would follow the Lord Jesus Christ. But before we reach that place, Jesus Christ says something that I believe must get our attention in verse 19 of chapter 4. He says, and this is unto Peter and Andrew, verse 19, notice with me, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." I want us to consider those words, and I want to preach a message this morning that I've entitled, "Following the Lord Jesus Christ." You know, we ask ourselves as we begin our missions conference, and we dedicate a week in the year to think about what the Lord wants us to do as a church. The command from the Lord Jesus Christ is rather clear. Jesus Christ, before he departed, five times he repeated a clear command that those who would follow him would go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. But by the time we reach that point before Christ's ascension, we come to the beginning of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of the first things that Jesus says to his disciples is, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." And we come to a missions conference and we typically have, we'll hear from our missionaries. We'll typically have a special speaker come in and they'll be sung throughout this week. And we ask ourselves here, what is the missions conference all about? Why do we have this emphasis? What is it all about? What is it that we are trying to do as a church as we're trying to follow the Lord in His direction. I'm going to tell you what we're trying to do. We're trying to follow Him. All of us individually following the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is why we are all meeting in this place this morning. You see, when we think about, we talked about in Sunday school about faith, promise, giving. We talked about giving. There's some people that give, some people that pray, some people that go. They will go to a foreign land and they will start a church, and as our missionaries in India, start an orphanage. And all those things that are happening around the world. But we ask ourselves, what is it all about? I'll tell you what it's all about. It comes down to these words that Jesus said, follow me. That's what Jesus wants of all of us this morning. He's saying to all of us, you want to be my disciple? You follow me. You remember by the end when Jesus Christ, after His resurrection, when He was spending some time with His disciples before His ascension, so between the resurrection and the ascension, the Lord Jesus Christ was talking about the involvement of different of the disciples. And you remember what Peter said when Jesus was talking about John? Peter looked at the Lord Jesus Christ and he says, well, this is going to happen to me, but what about John? What are you going to do with John? And remember what Jesus said? He said, what is that to thee? You, Peter, you follow me. But let John be John. Let him follow me. But you, Peter, what do you have to focus on, Peter? You follow me. And hence, the last instruction for Peter matches the first instruction to Peter to follow the Lord. I want us to look at those few words, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. I want to break down this principle that I believe applies to every Christian who would be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the first thing I want us to see as we look at those words is we consider our Lord's passion. What is missions all about, or what was Jesus Christ and His ministry in this earth all about? What was His life all about? Well, He told us Himself, our Savior's care, our Savior's passion was clear. It is unmistakable. Jesus Christ is interested in the salvation of the lost. In Luke chapter 19, as we see the interaction with Zacchaeus, when he talks about his ministry, as he talked about Zacchaeus, he says, the day of salvation is come to this house, for so much as he also is the son of Abraham. But then notice what he says in verse 10, for the Son of Man, in reference back to Himself, is come to seek and to save that which was lost. So Jesus Christ clearly demonstrated and spoke of His passion. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. As He was preparing His disciples on another occasion, as He was teaching them some important truths about servanthood, He said of Himself, the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many. The amazing thing about God sending His Son Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, as it is described in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, who came to earth to bleed and die for us, He came not to be ministered unto and to say, do this for me. He Himself came to be a minister and to give His life a ransom. And so we know what the Lord Jesus Christ's life was all about. He came to die for us. That was His passion, to seek and to save that which was lost. And as you look at the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is amazing to look at all of His interaction. For example, in John chapter 4, you find the woman at the well, a woman who had really had a life of that was lived in sinfulness. She had had five husbands, and the man she was currently living with was not her husband. And she revealed that to the Lord Jesus Christ, or Jesus Christ told her that that was what was in her life. And yet, that woman was saved. If you think about Nicodemus, who was, if you would, part of the religious class, who was a wealthy man, he came to the Lord Jesus Christ by night. And Jesus Christ says, you must be born again. Or you think even about the nobleman in Capernaum. Those different people, Jesus Christ was interested in all kinds of people. Aren't you glad about that? That He is interested in all of us? Not just the wealthy or not just the poor, but every man. And that is clear in all of His interactions. You see, Jesus Christ had a greater purpose for these people's lives. As you think about Peter, right? The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 4, they were fishing for fish. And the Lord Jesus Christ comes along, and certainly that was a commendable thing to do. If a man doesn't work, neither should he eat. And so Peter was working. He was making a living fishing for fish. But Jesus Christ interrupts their fishing, and He basically says, follow Me and I will make you fishers of men. And so now, by the way, they kept fishing. Jesus Christ is going to add to their livelihood a greater purpose. Something beyond themselves. Something that the Lord Jesus Christ wants them to be involved in, a greater than their livelihood, a greater purpose than just to fish for fish. It would be to become fishers of men. The Lord Jesus Christ found men, and this is amazing truth, He had found men who had been catching live fish to be cast aside to die. And now He is calling them to fish for men who are dead in their trespasses and sins, and to see them pass from death unto life. What a greater purpose for their lives that the Lord Jesus Christ, and it shows us right in that verse, His passions, Christians have a greater work to do than to simply make this world a better place from which people go to hell. It is wonderful that we do good things, but the gospel of Jesus Christ and fishing for men is our greater purpose. Our Lord's passion must become our passion. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ came to do. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And now He's commending people to come after Him. Follow Me and I will make you fishers of men. Come with Me in this passion. I want you to come along with Me. How does the Lord's passion become our passion? This is the key here. Because often we think to ourselves, well, I want to serve God and I guess I want to fish for men. I want to have an impact in this world. I want to be part of a cause and a purpose that is greater than myself, greater than my livelihood. Which brings us to the second point. So we see our Lord's passion, but secondly, we consider our Lord's principle. He says in Matthew 4:19, and He saith unto them, here it is, follow Me. Now, I want you to think about that. We know what the Lord Jesus Christ wants to do. He wants to seek and to save that which was lost. That's why He came. And He says here to Peter, come, follow Me, I will make you fishers of men. I want you to join My cause. The greatest work that's ever been done for the soul of man was done by the Lord Jesus Christ when He died on the cross. And as the Bible says in Hebrews 2:9, He tasted death for every man. He took our place on the cross of Calvary. And He says, this is what I want us to do. Let's fish for men. But before He does that, He says, follow Me. I want you to notice what He says. He doesn't say to Peter, now follow, Peter, you go out and go get people. Go fish for men, Peter. Go do that. No, the first thing He says is, Peter, follow Me. Before you go, follow Me. You see, the first call in our lives is a call to be with Him. What is a missions conference all about? I'll tell you what it's all about. It's about following Him. The going will come later, but the first principle is for us to follow Him. The Christian's life is not a religion, it's about a person. And that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we have to understand that activity can never be a substitute for fellowship. Activity can never be a substitute for fellowship with the Lord. You see, because before we can become fishers, we have to follow Him. That is our first call. You see, because activity without fellowship will only produce frustration, discouragement, and emptiness. We think about our missionaries around the world who are serving the Lord. Why do they do what they do? We heard this morning, it's clear they do what they do because they're following the Lord. It doesn't matter what men may say or the consequences of what might happen in your life. They're following the Lord and they've determined that they're going to do that. You see, if that determination is not made, then it is only a life of frustration and discouragement. I want you to turn with me in Mark chapter 3. The same truth is found in Mark chapter 3. Here, many of the disciples are gathered together and we think about the Lord Jesus Christ who is going to send them out to do His work. And notice with me Mark chapter 3. And let's read a few verses here. Verse 12, if we begin here. Mark chapter 3. Notice with me verse 12. The Bible says, "And He straitly charged them that they should not make Him known. And He goeth up into a mountain and calleth unto Him whom He would, and they came unto Him. And He ordained 12. Now, let's stop right there. Okay, so He ordained. Typically, when you see an ordaining, it means they're about to go do something. Right? When you see it in the book of Acts, when Paul and Barnabas were ordained, that means they were sent out from the church of Antioch to do church planting. So the ordination is connected to a sending out. So we know that. But here, He ordained 12, the Bible says. But then He says what? That they, verse 14, should be with Him. And that He might send them forth to preach. Now notice here, again, the order is found the same, right? Jesus said in Matthew 4, "Follow Me and I will make you fishers of men." And here in Mark, He tells us again, "I've ordained 12 that they should be with Him." He ordained that they should be with Him and that He might send them forth. So before they are sent out forth to preach, He says, "I want you to be with Me. I've ordained you. This is the first call on your life, is for you to be with Me." The first call is not to go. The first call is to be with Him. You see, why? Why is that so important? Because a passion for the lost is never self-produced. A passion for the world, for the lost, for those who are in darkness is never self-produced. A passion for worldwide evangelism is found in the person of Christ. It's found in Him. That's why Paul wrote to the church at Corinth and he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 14, "For the love of Christ constraineth me." He's not talking about our love for Christ, he's talking about His love constrains us. Our love is fickle, it comes and goes, is it not? But His love is constant. It never wanes, it never falters, it never changes. Has anyone ever loved as Christ has loved? I think the answer is a clear no. You see, nothing can compare to the Savior's love. And before His departure, He's going to spend some time. If you study John chapter 14, 15, 16, and 17, those are the last moments of the Lord Jesus Christ with His disciples before the crucifixion. And you remember what He taught them in John chapter 15? He says, "I am the vine, ye are the branches." The branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. There it is again, a call to be with Him. Do we want fruit? Do we want to do what the Lord wants us to do? Then we have a clear call upon our lives. The principle is not to go out and to be involved in all kinds of activities. The call on our lives is to be with the Lord. You see, it is impossible for the believer to effectively be a witness and a light in the world to the lost without first understanding that call. Where is it that we have failed? Where is it that we fail in the Christian life or in the work of the Lord? I'll tell you where. We rush and we search for shortcuts. We do everything we can to eliminate the need for God so that we can run ahead and do what we want to do on our own. We have failed because we have learned to succeed and accomplish things without the Lord. You see, there is no deep satisfaction in the Christian life until Christ has been given His proper place in our lives. And when Christ has His proper place in our lives, everything else in our lives will have its proper place. Everything else in our lives. You see, when there is a problem with an affection on things that ought not to be in our lives, is because there's a problem with our relationship with the Lord. The call is always first to follow Him. Now, here is the wonderful truth. We see our Lord's passion, fishers of men. Our Lord's principle is follow me. But then here it is, lastly, our Lord's provision. Notice here those words, so simple, but so important. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. As we follow Christ, He makes us fishers of men. I want you to think about those things now. Fishers of men, if the passion of Christ has not become our passion, it is because Christ has not made us fishers of men. And if Christ is not making us fishers of men, it is ultimately because we're not following Him. You see, when we follow Him, He is going to make us fishers of men. And His passion will become our passion. His purpose will become our purpose. There are no self-made fishers of men. You can go after the lost without Christ, but you cannot go after Christ without going after the lost. I want you to turn with me to Mark chapter 14. In Mark chapter 14, we have an interesting scene. Jesus Christ is eating with a religious leader during that day. It is evident that this man cared nothing about the Lord Jesus Christ. He did not bother to wash his feet, as was the proper custom during that time. But something happens in Mark 14, and notice with me. Let's pick it up in the beginning of the chapter. Notice with me verse 3. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? For she hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily, verily, I say unto you, who wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. Now, the scene seems to be interesting, but I believe here some of the disciples, probably Judas, was complaining within himself that this woman would have such an expensive ointment to put on the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, it could have been given to the poor. And so they despised, in a sense, this woman, and they forgot all that she was doing. You see, our Lord placed much value upon what this woman did. Well, what does she do? I would say she did this. The place she gave Christ in her life was directly connected to the worldwide spread of the gospel message. That's what Jesus said. What she had done, He said, was for my bearing. And so wherever the gospel is going to be preached throughout the world, what this woman has done is going to be spoken of for memorial of her. And you say, how do you know that? Because we're talking about it right now. Jesus Christ saw fit to connect what this woman did in bringing what she had to the Lord. She had done what she could. She gave this to the Lord. It reflects the place that the Lord had in her life. She honored the Lord. She honored who the Lord was first. And then the Lord says, all throughout the world where the gospel is preached, what this woman has done will be remembered. You know what Jesus Christ considers very important is the place that He has in our lives. So I ask us this morning, what place does He have in our lives? You see, what I'm not trying to do here, and this is our missions conference, but I am not emphasizing fishing for men. First. I'm not even emphasizing try to make yourself a fisher of men. Try to become a fisher of men. What I am emphasizing is follow the Lord. And when you and I follow the Lord, He will do something in our lives. And then we will become fishers of men. So the reason I'm not doing what God wants me to do is because He is not making me a fisher of men. And the reason why He is not making me a fisher of men is because I am not following Him. Now that is hard to admit, but that's the truth of this verse. So I say to us, we begin our missions conference. What are we trying to do, Pastor, here? 2021, 4 years, right? Beginning of April, 4 years. Where are we trying? What are we trying to do? Where are we trying to go? Let's all come together. Let's all follow the Lord. And when we all follow the Lord together, He will do something in our lives. And by doing so, He will fulfill His purpose as the reason why He came. And He will make us fishers of men. And so may the Lord help us to concentrate on the right thing. How can our missionaries, we're still online, but how can our missionaries risk their lives, do what they do? I'll tell you why, because we're following the Lord. And they say, if they are not following the Lord, they're not going to endure persecution. They're going to stop. They're going to give up. Why? Because they're not following the Lord. But when they're following the Lord, they have their heart in the right place. But what we must do is the same here. We must all follow the Lord. We enable our missionaries to stand on the other side of the world if we here follow the Lord. And if we here stop following the Lord, we will cause a great detriment to our missionaries who are serving around the world. And so may the Lord help us to begin where the place where Jesus began.